Ravens flock, welcome back. Believe in Ravens podcast. Daniel Wilcox, Matt Trigger. This is the Buffalo Bills preview show for the Sunday night showdown in Buffalo. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the number one trusted source in online sports wagering. Daniel, not a whole lot to talk about with the point spread. It's a pick'em game. Nobody's giving anybody points. The over-under is 51.5, so that's probably going to be met. It's going to definitely probably be met. The over is probably going to happen, but on to more important things other than the point spread. We know it's going to be a high scoring physical game. We have a very special guest with us from the Ravens Super Bowl 47 championship team. He was a linebacker and a special teams ace, NFL veteran, Brandon Iambadejo. Brandon, thank you so much for joining the show.
What's up, gentlemen? It's a pleasure to be on.
Absolutely,
man.
Thank you.
First thing I'm gonna say about Brendan: not only was he a Super Bowl champ and a special team ace, he was a mother dog. You know what I'm talking about? My boy was a dog. I'm telling you right now, I used to run down on a special team before Brendan came in. I was leading the team in tackles. Then they brought in Gary Stills, and they brought in Brendan Iambadejo, and them boys came down that thing, and I was like, "Oh shit, Saudi, they got your numbers. They got all your numbers, dog." But when I say these boys, this dude was a freaking savage. Like a straight up savage, like everything about him. He's wired from the toes to the head to play the sport of football. And I love the fact that I got a chance to be his teammate. You know, I don't care if it was 1 year. I don't care if it was 2 years. I don't care if it was five. He's a model teammate and the type of guy that you want to have around. Everything about Brendan, to me, he's sitting in a Tesla right now. And I'm sitting there thinking about who Brendan would be if he was a football player. He would probably be a freaking Tesla. 0 to 100 real quick. And he's efficient in every single way. Smart, intelligent, simplified at his finest. And everything about this guy, to me, kind of exemplifies Tesla, Apple, like minimalist, but super clean. Like I could see his house probably having a lot of windows and stuff. He can see nature outside. He's that type of guy, man.
You're telling people too much right now, Coxie. You're telling them too much.
I'm telling him the truth, dog. My boy is displaced right now. He's actually in LA, and he's had to deal with the fires and stuff, all this stuff that was going on in LA. So he's displaced from his home. You know, so he's actually living in a hotel right now. So Brendan, you know, if you got a little bit of time before we jump into this Bills game, you know, kind of talk about what it feel like to kind of go through what you went through. Because I seen a couple of videos, bro, where people's houses are on fire all outside of their house, and they trapped inside their house. You know, and you were saying earlier, you know, like, you know, people, even if you didn't die, this thing really seriously affected you in multiple ways. So please speak about it a little bit before we jump into it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where it's like there was very few injuries because you were able to, you know, escape the fire and leave the fire, even though it took over the city quite quickly. But everybody in the city is affected. Every business, every school, whether it's air quality, whether it's the hundreds of thousands of people that were displaced. The whole city is reeling and impacted by what's going on with the fires. And I think the beautiful thing about it is that the city really came together. Just like in 9/11, when you saw New York City come together and all the help and all the love for NYPD and NYFD, you're seeing the same thing happening here. And firefighters came from different countries all over the world, all over the United States, and they came here. People donated from all over California and all over the United States, and FEMA, like I'm living in a hotel that FEMA's paying for right now. The city's really coming together. I know we're still reeling and we're still suffering, but at least the outpouring of love is there, and we can definitely feel that. But everybody in the whole county of Los Angeles is affected for sure.
Man, that's dope, man. I'm going to keep praying for all you guys, that you guys are back in your homes and everything is good. My wife was telling me, Shauna was telling me yesterday that some about the insurance company might have dropped a bunch of people from the insurance.
Allstate dropped almost 75,000 families like four or five months ago for fire coverage.
Yeah, a lot of the insurance companies did. You know, it's a numbers game for them. And so if there's any type of, you know, if they're going to lose the numbers game, then they're going to get out of the business. The good thing is that that they did announce that if your insurance had been dropped in the last year, that federally they were going to give you protection of your home. So they would cover whatever the insurance company covered if you were dropped in the last year. And I was one of those people that was dropped. And then luckily around Thanksgiving, I got new fire insurance. And I just did it, but I'm not sure if everybody
did
was
the
that
same.
diligent and, or that quick to reinstate theirs. But luckily, there's a moratorium, and the federal government's gonna give them access to insurance coverage if they were dropped in the last year, which is great.
Well, that's dope. I know you probably got to jump through some loops or some hoops or fill out some paperwork or something to make that happen with the federal government. That's not always an easy thing to do either. So, well, whatever it is, I hope all the families, we're going to pray that all the families in LA and anything surrounding that got affected by these fires, we pray that they're all okay and everybody's safe and they're able to get back on their feet extremely fast. I might need to move to LA to try to build some of these houses, man. Shoot.
Right. There's definitely going to be some things going on out here for sure. And then also you got the Olympics coming, you got the World Cup coming.
Right.
So like the city was already trying to get its stuff together for those things that are coming. And now you have this setback. So yeah, it's going to be real interesting. A lot of different things going on.
How do these fires start? Because I keep hearing it's just the heat, but that just blows my mind that it's hot outside and it just started fire. So
yeah, you know, the fires, it's not about the heat, it's about the wind. And we have these things called the Santa Ana winds. So last week we knew the Santa Ana winds were coming, and they said winds were going to be affecting Southern California from 30 miles an hour up to 80 mile an hour winds. And as soon as that happened, I started sending that danger thing to all my friends. Because if you live in California, you know, when there's wind, there's fire. Why is there fire with wind? It's not about the heat. It's because power lines are going to go out, or something's going to get knocked over and cause an explosion. As soon as that happens, and then the fire kicks in, and say it's in a foresty area, or if it's around the house, then the embers are going to start flying at 60, 70 miles an hour. And that's what happened. These fires, I don't know exactly how they started, but they started somewhere, I think, in foresty areas. The embers blew forest to forest. It went from 20 acres to 200 acres to over 23,000 acres, and thousands of homes went with it. So it was wild.
Yeah, I guess that does make sense, because they always say it never rains in California, right? So it's probably super dry. All the stuff is easier to catch fire because there's no moisture there.
Yeah, so last thing, but then let's just start talking about something fun, because I've been living this life for the last 8 days. But it rained here, record rain, for the last 3 years.
What?
The most rain that California had seen in a month happened in the last 2 years. The most rain in a year in the last 80 years, that happened in the last 2 to 3 years. So record rainfall in California the last 3 years. So what does that mean? All the shrubbery and everything in the mountains was all overgrown, and it was all fuel for the fire. So it rained for 3 years straight, then it didn't rain for a year, and we're approaching like record low of no rainfall. And then everything lit on fire, and it was a tinderbox. And I'd never seen my backyard have so much foliage and stuff like that, like it had. So yeah, it was just the perfect timing for the worst disaster in LA history.
Well, that's a perfect segue,
Let's talk about some football. I need to feel good. Fill me up with something.
Hey, that's a perfect segue to this ass burning that Buffalo Bills is about to get from the Baltimore Ravens. So let's go. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, man. So I'm excited about this game. I've been sick and tired of this whole Lamar, Josh Allen debate back and forth. Who's the MVP? Who's not the MVP? Lamar don't had two already. Josh deserves one.
No such thing as you deserve one. You either earn one or you don't.
Go get it. Don't be mad because our team is better than your team, because our GM, Eric DaCosta, did a better job recruiting than your GM did. So don't be hating on us because we got a squad and we got Derrick Henry and Lamar together. Lamar been doing this same stuff for 6-7 years and haven't got any respect for it. All he's gotten is hate for it. And everybody keeps trying to stop this man from being the best running quarterback in the history of the NFL. They've been trying to stop him from day one. But then they hate on Josh Allen. I mean, they give Josh Allen all this praise for being able to run the ball. How is that possible, Brendan? What do you see in that?
Yeah, I mean, their running stats really aren't comparable. I think, you know, the beautiful thing about Josh Allen and his team is they're winning and they're playing some good football.
They are.
And so, you know, when you start looking at the MVP, we start looking at records and, you know, how a team is doing. And you're rarely going to hear about an MVP on a team that's not a winning team. So they have, you know, they have a better winning record than us. But with that being said, with Lamar stats, MV3, his stats are better than they were the last 2 years.
They are.
And so it's just undeniable. Like if you just look at the way and what he's been doing, and finally he's got some support too. You know, before You look at the run game and all the support that he had around him before, he's always had an offensive line, but the rest of the players, not so much. But he's doing it, and he's doing it big. So, I think it's I'm obviously biased, but with that being said, if you look at the stats and you actually watch an entire game, I think Lamar's got this.
I think you got it too, bro. I'm with you 100%.
But, you know, they always want, you know, just whatever reason media want, you know, the quarterback. Controversy. In that position, there's going to be a little bit of controversy. And we just happen to have, you know, it's socially, we haven't had black quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? With Doug Williams being the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And then, you know, with all the controversy of black players should be quarterbacks and so on and so forth. Now we're at the point where it's like the best quarterbacks just happen to have the skill set right now. The black quarterback were the best throwers and were the best runners. The old pocket quarterback where you're just throwing, those don't exist anymore, even though guys can still do that, but that's just not what the game calls for. And it calls for a quarterback like Josh Allen, like Lamar, and doing the things that they do. I just think Lamar does it better.
Josh Allen's a touchdown merchant.
What does that mean?
It means James Cook does all the work running the ball, and then it's crazy work.
Hey, when you put it like that, Matt, that kind of brings back the whole Boobie Miles argument back in the days. Remember the movie with Boobie Miles?
Yeah,
where he was running the ball all the way down, and they would give it to the Friday other boy to score the touchdown. Yep. I was like, that's crazy.
He's a touchdown merchant. His stats look inflated because. James
got 12,
Cook will do
12
all the
touchdowns for Tish Push. For Tish
He'll
Push.
Do all 12 the runs between the 20s. 12, and that's crazy.
12 rushing touchdowns for the Tish Push.
Right.
12 touchdowns under 2 yards.
It's definitely inflated. It's inflated. They both do a great job of getting the ball down there, right? But if the ball gets inside the one, just like the Eagles, you know, they're just going to have him. They're going to have Josh Allen just, you know,
Tish Push it.
Push the ball in, whereas we're going to run our offense from the 1 yard line. And obviously, like even in red zone and high red, the king comes out of the game. Third down, the king's coming out of the game. So we're going to run our offense and we're going to run our system. And then, you know, they're kind of just tush pushing it in. So, I mean, Lamar's definitely more valuable. If you start dissecting the stats, then it's even more glaring.
When you take a look at the beginning of the season and where we are now, like the last 4 or 5 weeks or 5 or 6 weeks, our defense have been number one in almost every single category. But we had all this friction and struggle in the beginning of the season. And like we got 5 losses that we shouldn't have had. And it wasn't because of Lamar. It wasn't because of the offense. You know, 95% of those losses was because of defense, maybe a little bit of coaching, and then also kicking, right? You know, we missed, I think, 23 points. We lost 5 games under the total of 22 points. So if we just hit all 23 of those points kicking, we win all those games. You know, so when I look at it, you know, defense gave up some stuff, you know, a lot of stuff early in the year. We was almost dead last in every single category. And then now we've kind of flipped it and turned around, and now we're first place in almost every category. What do you examine when you watched us from the beginning of the season to kind of now defensively? What took place and why we are where we are right now?
Right. Well, I think, you know, even the year we won a Super Bowl, every team's going to go through some sort of struggle at some point in their season. Luckily for us, we had it at the beginning of the season. We kind of dialed things in the middle, maybe had a setback here and there, and then now we're really on a run. If you look at the Steelers, they had it figured out in the beginning of the season, and at the end of the season, they went out with 5 or 6 losses, you know what I'm saying? And they hobbled into the playoffs. Every team is going to have their struggles at some point. Sometimes it's 1 week, sometimes it's 5 weeks. If you look at the 18-1 Patriots, you know, their struggle came in the Super Bowl. So I'd rather get those struggles out early. I'd rather figure things out. Sometimes you have a little identity crisis. Sometimes you figure out you kind of lose your way. When we lost our playoff game last year, we lost our way in the playoff game. We came out here trying to throw the ball instead of trying to run the ball when we're a run team. So I think we're really dialed in. I think our timing is better than ever. We hit the last quarter of the season and the playoffs on full tilt. So there's not really a question, at least in the AFC, like who's the best team going into the playoffs in the AFC. I don't think there's really a question. It's been us. So we just got to continue to do what we've been doing the last 4 weeks, which is great timing that we've been doing it. And not doing, obviously, what we did in the first 4 weeks, losing to the Raiders. Goodness gracious, can you even imagine that? Cleveland, all of Jameis Winston was on fire. He beat us and the Steelers back to back, which was insane. That was just by the grace of God. That was by the grace of God that those things happened. But I think we have a lot of things figured out. And through those struggles, you really figure out who you are. Sometimes, most times, you learn more in a loss than you're going to learn in a win. Sometimes the wins cover things up a little bit and you have some discrepancies. You're not self-scouting the same way as you would when you hit a loss. So I think, you know, the changes that we made on the defense, DNPs, really saving Derrick Henry the whole season, taking him out on third down. He's out on high red, not beating his body up through the season. He's having, you know, he broke the record for the most rushing yards in a playoff game in Ravens history. So I think he's fresh. He's healthy. We're pretty healthy going into the game. I don't know about Zay Flowers' status, but I think
he didn't practice again today.
He didn't practice yet. I mean, other than him, timing is on our side, which is a beautiful thing. So I think it's great that all those things happen early in the season and there's no issues going into the season. So we really have no excuse not to win this game. And like you said, as we started talking about football, is just beating up the Buffalo Bills. I think we're in the three phases of the game, we're a better team in all three phases. And so there's really no excuse for us not to win this game. It's going to be like every year we're upset when we get knocked out of the playoffs. This is the year.
It's going to hurt more.
I have a question for you, Brendan. I've been thinking about this all day and I see the parallels from the fan perspective. I want to ask you, because you played on the team in the 2012 year during our last Super Bowl run. There's a lot of parallels in the playoffs and the quarterback structure and, I guess, ranking system. Lamar, Allen, and Mahomes are kind of like this version of Joe, Peyton, and Brady. So, you know, everybody said Joe couldn't get over that hump until he beat these guys. And then he went on and did his thing in 2012. Do you see the parallel where Lamar gets constantly criticized in the same manner that Joe did, and now he's going up against the two guys that they're saying he can never really beat when it matters the most? And now he could potentially have both of those lined up in consecutive weekends on the way to New Orleans.
Yeah, no, I think if you go back to our 2012 team, we really struggled with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We got knocked out of an AFC championship and a divisional round against the Steelers. One year they swept us, they beat us three games. So we kind of were able to settle that. We went 2-1 against them this year. And then Buffalo, you know, obviously is a very formidable team. And then basically Mahomes is the Tom Brady of our era. I think the parallels are all there. And I think they're such exciting games. All the teams are really good teams. And to go and like what we beat Andrew Luck, then we beat Peyton Manning, and then we beat Tom Brady, and then we had to go beat Colin Kaepernick in the Super Bowl, right? So all really good high level quarterbacks, all pro if not Pro Bowl quarterbacks that we had to go through, and Lamar's going to have to do the same thing. And he's arguably the best one. He doesn't have the best body of work just because of Mahomes and his championships, but he's having the best season and one of the best seasons of all time. But, yeah, I mean, this is the year. When you start looking at all the stats and you start stacking it up, legacy, I mean, legacy is made in the offseason or in the playoffs. Legacy is made then, you know what I'm saying? So true. If Lamar wants to cement his legacy and get into GOAT talk, he's got to win some Super Bowls. Until then, I think Mahomes got it. Tom Brady got it and some other cats. But once he starts doing that, then, yeah, I mean, let's talk about winning 2-3 and doing what Kansas City's doing. But obviously it all starts with getting over the hump in Buffalo this weekend. And it's gonna be a challenge, especially being in Buffalo. And you know how the Buffalo Bills fans are. They got amazing, great fans. They're going to be loud. Their team's going to be ready to play. But we're the better football team. But we're going to find out what is it, Saturday or Sunday? I don't even know.
Sunday night. You know, Daniel and I have been talking about it the last couple of shows, surrounding the number 12 in my superstition for this Super Bowl stretch right here. It was 12 years between our first and second Super Bowl, and it just so happens your brother was a champion on our first team. You were a champion on our second team. We're now 12 years removed.
pretty freaking dope, by the way.
Yeah, it's really dope.
It's pretty dope.
And your ring is better than his, Brendan, just so you know.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Go ahead, man.
You know, so now we're at year 12. They dedicated the season to Jacoby. When Trent Dilfer won the Super Bowl, he was 28 years old. When Joe won the Super Bowl, he was 28 years old. Lamar is now 28 years old. So there's a lot of things going destiny. On with certain numbers. It's destiny. And I feel like Lamar is on that destiny type track right now. So I feel as though this might be the year that this is the year Lamar does it. So I was just curious, do you believe in that superstition type stuff? Because Daniel doesn't, and I do, and it's okay. But do you see it's kind of wild though?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that makes me think about that the most is that we were dead to rights up in Denver.
It was over.
That game was over in Denver.
Yeah.
That game was over. Before it went to overtime, that game was over.
I agree.
I don't know what down it was, but the offense really wasn't doing much. We're down by 7 points. All of a sudden, Flacco to Jacoby throws a bomb out of nowhere, and we tied the game up. There's a couple seconds left. They kneel the ball. They're like, F it, we're going to kneel and go into overtime. Then we go to double overtime, and we win. We were dead to rights. We had no business winning that game. So with that being said, 12 years, then another 12 years, we win a Super Bowl. Like, all these things are tied together. They're all tied together. If we go win another Super Bowl, then yeah, man, then destiny, like, it is definitely our destiny. And we had that game was the game that we had to beat. That was to win. That was the toughest game because we went in there and we knew we were going to beat the brakes off the Patriots. We already knew that.
Right.
The hard game was getting over Denver, and we got through that. Like, once we got through Denver, we're like, oh, this is ours. So hopefully they don't make it as intense as it was for us in the divisional up in Denver. Hopefully they can go beat the brakes off of Buffalo and then know that it is their destiny to win another Super Bowl every 12 years with a 28-year-old quarterback.
In both Super Bowls, they've scored 34 points each time.
34 points. It is interesting how those things happen. It is very interesting. And, why not?
I mean, you know, I kind of brought it up. I'm the one that kind of started the whole thing. We kind of went back and forth with the 12 thing because, you know, Jacoby passed this year. Lamar dedicated the season to Jacoby. And when you started looking at the 12, it was 12 years to the next Super Bowl. This is 12 years going into the next Super Bowl. Jacoby wore number 12. Jacoby was the magic that gave y'all the Super Bowl in the first place last time. And then y'all won in 2012. You know, it's just too many 12s in this shit for me not to be like, bro, something's up. You know, like, hell, this is 12th year again. Why not? Hell, why not? Lamar is due for it. Last time y'all lost the AFC Championship the year prior, I think. I remember Ray telling everybody to hold this, keep their heads up. We're going to be right back here next year. And y'all went and got that shit. And the same thing happened this year. Last year they went to the AFC Championship. I went to the damn game. And I'm sitting there like, what are we doing? I'm up here like, bro, like – everybody, me, AD, everybody in the box up there talking like, bro, what we doing? We all scratching down here. Reed, everybody. Like, we the number one rushing offense in the league, and we throwing the ball 100 times. So what's going on? You know, so we lost our identity in that game, and here we go again. You know, we right back. You know, and I'm like, bro, ain't no way we gonna drop the ball. Then we go. I felt like Eric DaCosta has done a phenomenal job. Joe Ortiz, who's now in San Diego, now in with the Chargers. And George Cocaine is the player personnel department did a phenomenal job putting together this team. I feel like we're about as stacked as we've ever been. And the crazy thing, Eric last night was saying that he feel like we may be a little lighter in certain areas than we were last year. You know, I haven't even noticed that. And we've had injuries throughout this entire season, but I haven't felt those injuries like that because I felt like every game, Brendan, every game I felt like we could have won. Every single game.
Absolutely. Every game.
Yeah. You know, so I just felt like we're way better than what we've played. And I felt like we just put together our very first game last week was a complete game, offense, defense, and special teams.
But then, like, you go win those games, then what doesn't get addressed? You know what I'm saying? Those things got addressed. Things got addressed through those losses. Those things got addressed. So I think, you know, the losses, you really go do your diligence through your losses. You're going to come out better. Sometimes the losses, I ain't trying to go all the way and lose. I ain't trying to do 18-1. I'll take 15-4, but you win that last one. I'll take a 10-8 or whatever it is, and you win that last one. That's all that matters.
100%.
Absolutely. 100%. It's interesting though, Brendan, that they are, you know, the weather adds an added layer and an added element to this game this weekend. I know that you've played in some pretty cold games. You know, Foxborough is always freezing. Daniel, you played in the AFC East. Buffalo is always freezing as well. Today, they've been showing on the local news here in Baltimore all day, Brendan, that Buffalo has a lakefront snow and it's going to be wind chills -1 at kickoff. So this might be a game where between Lamar, Derek, and Justice and Keaton, you might see 40 to 45 touches, and he might only throw the ball 10 to 15 times. You know, it could be that kind of game.
Man, then that's just some AFC North football, right?
It is. It really is.
That's old school.
That's Baltimore Ravens. That's Browns. That's Steelers. I don't know about the Bengals. that's some old AFC.
I love the Bengals shade.
That's some AFC North football right there, if you ask me. And going back to the divisional, when we played in Denver, the weather was very similar. And the year before that, we played in Kansas City in the playoffs. And just normally, even Baltimore weather as it is, it's no joke either. So
You're right.
I think the boys will be prepared. They'll be ready. The elements, I don't think the elements make much of a difference. I think we got a better run game than them. We got better offensive line than them, a better defensive line, a better defense. So they always say, what do you pack in the winter? They say you pack your defense, pack your offensive and your defensive line, pack your running in your run game. Yeah. And I think we're better suited for that type of football. So
we built for it.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Absolutely.
What do you feel like is the strength of our defense right now? Just watching them.
I mean, I think if you as a collective, Baltimore is built on defense. We already know that. The history of Baltimore, we've been built on defense, and you always know it's going to be a physical game. But I think just the collective of the defense, the way that everybody plays complementary football with them boys up front and getting after the ball. Obviously, you can't getting after the quarterback. You can't give the quarterback time. The way that the secondary is playing right now, whether it be coverage, you look at some of the percentage of completions on some of our DBs are the best in football. And our secondary with some of our cornerbacks, we do have some physical corners as well. And I think just the timing of them playing, you know, between you already got one of the best linebackers in the league, but the timing with the defensive line in the secondary is great right now. Just not giving the quarterback a lot of time. So it looks completely different than what it looked like early on in the season.
Yeah.
So I think they're playing on defense. They're playing complementary football that, you know, you got to play on a string with your defensive line and your secondary and the communication. So I'm just hearing with Kyle where he's lining up, things are less confusing. Things are more simple. The communication is better. And you just see that happening with the guys up front getting after the quarterback. You're seeing a lot of sacks. And then just everything's contested. Three pass. Well, shoot. I didn't necessarily like what I saw against the Steelers. Just there was two completions. Just get the guy on the ground. Don't let the guy split the defense. Don't let him score a touchdown and live to fight another play. But those were really our only two mistakes of the game against Berg. But other than that, I mean, I think they're playing really complementary football right now between the secondary and the D-line. And we got one of the best linebackers in the game already. So it's fun to watch them play.
That's fair.
If you had to say one player was the weakest link, who would you say it'd be?
Oh man, weakest link. I wouldn't call anybody out on defense like that.
I will.
Let Brendan say his piece first. Let him say his piece first. Hold on.
You know, I think it's a defensive coordinator's job to, you know, if you do have a weak link, to support that weakest link in the best way that you can.
Around. Yep.
So if there is a weak link and something's being attacked, you already know that. You already self-scouted. So you got to do what you can to put your team in a position where that isn't exposed. So with that being said, I mean, football, the key thing I keep saying is complementary football.
Yeah.
If passes are being contested, if a quarterback is holding the ball, then the D-line's eating. If passes are coming out fast and the D-line can't eat, then they all got to be contested. You got to cover guys so the D-line can eat. The D-line's got to get after the quarterback so the DBs can eat. So it's all
right.
So the back seven can eat, including the linebacker. So it's all complementary. And then from a coordinator standpoint, things can't always be predictable. You got to know when to pressure. You got to know when to disguise. You got to know when to sit back and you got to cover. And so you got to do those things. And I think the biggest thing we can point to from a coaching standpoint was last year when we came out passing the ball, the last time we lost a playoff, well, the last playoff game we lost. When you come out passing the ball, that's not your identity. So same thing on defense. You have a defensive identity. And so you got to go true to form and you got to execute what the defensive game plan is. So I don't ever put anything on one guy. It comes down to a bunch of different plays, comes down to coaching and comes down to execution. So you know how that is, Daniel. The fans want to point out a guy or they want to do certain things. They might not even know what the coverage is. You know what I'm saying? But it's the thing where I think we're all in it together. It's a team sport.
So in Matt's defense, so if a cornerback keeps getting beat deep, it's really the D-line fault. It's not the corner fault.
Well, I mean, it just depends. What's the timing of the play as well? And then it's like, okay, well, do you need to go cover two? Do you need to make it, you know, does he need to be playing a different type of defense where he's not playing deep and he's got over-the-top help? Or, you know, if you keep going cover one and cover zero and the DB's getting beat,
that's the
the pressure's got to get there or like don't call that pressure because you already know if a guy's getting beat, you know what his weak link is. He's on the field for a reason because he's good at something. So let's highlight his good and let's have him do the things that he's good at. If he can't cover a guy deep, then he's got to have help over the top.
Well said. So that's some surgical shit. That was well said, bro. I like that. I hope all the fans get a chance to hear that perspective from Brendan because that was very surgical.
It was. Matt, go ahead. So, Brendan, I know you got to cut out soon, Brendan. So we're gonna do the last segment of our show. It's an offensive player of the game, defensive player of the game, score prediction, and then I ask you a question about Baltimore that's not football related. So we'll save that for last, but. Who do you see being the offensive player of the game, defensive player of the game, and what's your final score prediction for Sunday night?
Man, if Henry eats, then we're going to win the game. Because you know Lamar is going to eat no matter what because he's the best player in football. But if you have two guys eating, so if the King eats, then if he's the MVP of the game, then you know you done won that football game. Defense?
Yes, sir.
Let's go with Matabike. He can stop the run, and he's going to get after the quarterback. So Nnamdi Matabike, why not? He's always making plays. He's always putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And the key to stopping this team is stopping their quarterback. He's the one player that you only have to worry about one player, and that's him. He's the only one you got to stop on their team. If he doesn't eat, then that team doesn't eat. Score prediction?
Yes, sir. Score prediction.
Man, let's go 35-17, Ravens.
Wow. I had to say God. That was mine.
Can you see that right there?
I can't see it. Is it the same?
35-17, bro.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
I think they get a trash touchdown. You
get all of our touchdowns when the game matters. They'll probably get a trash touchdown.
I agree with you 100%, bro. That's dope.
We're all in the same accord for the score, 35-17.
Yeah, 35-17.
So, Daniel, who's your offensive player of the game?
My offensive player of the game this week, I'm going to keep it in the tight end room, baby, Mark Andrews. Let's go, big fella. Mm-hmm. Go show up, show out, man, and ball the hell out on these boys, man. Represent the tight ends. And him and Isaiah Likely, I'm going to give it to both of them boys. I think they're going to sleep on Likely a little bit this week and Likely going to have a couple of explosive plays that's going to shock some people like the one he had last week where he stiffed arm Buddy and bounced his head off the turf like a basketball. It was pretty gangster. And then defensive player of the game, I'm going to stick with the D-line too, an outside backers. I'm going to go with Kyle Van Noy. He's been kind of leading this defense all year long. I love what our defensive front have done all year long. You know, I represent the big boys almost every week, Brendan. You know, so I'm going to go with the outside guys. I'm going to say Owe and Van Noy is going to pop off on the outside edges. And then score prediction, Brendan already gave it away, baby, 35-17. Yeah. Let's go.
We're all in the same accord with the score. My offensive player of the game is going to be Rashad Bateman. I think Rashad has a good. I think Rashad catches two touchdowns on Sunday night. They might be the only two touchdowns in the air, but I think he catches two of them. Yeah. You know, I think Lamar and Derek are going to handle the ground game and score three combined. But I'm going to go Rashad Bateman game, and then on defense, it's a Kyle Hamilton game. He's a crash out, and I love the fact that he doesn't go for interceptions. He wants to hunt people. So I love that about his game. And I got Kyle Hamilton having a big game. And like we said, 35-17. So, Brendan, the last thing I want to ask you before we let you go, I ask everybody that played here, off field, what was your favorite thing about being a Baltimore Raven? Where was your favorite place to go? What was your favorite thing to do when you weren't in Owings Mills being barked at by John Harbaugh?
Right. Man, you know who's built a beautiful community that is Baltimore through and through is the guys from Jimmy's Famous Seafood. Those guys, they do community service. So I'd do Christmas holidays with those guys. I would do Thanksgiving with those guys. I've done Thanksgiving food drives with those guys. I've done pregame tailgate parties with those guys.
Wow.
They deliver food service. If I didn't want to cook for Thanksgiving, then I would do Thanksgiving for my whole family at their restaurant. They are such an integral part of the community. If something goes good or something goes bad, they're always going to be there.
I love
it. Okay. And so they were, you know, like if I was off the, because like, I'm not like a big party guy. I wouldn't, but you know, like by the time I was, you know, like I told you, I was out of the league by the time I was 36. Most guys are done with the league by the time they're 25.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing more kind of refined things. So I would be hanging out at Jimmy's, watching a fight, eating food or getting food delivered. And yeah, just John and Tony at Jimmy's Famous Seafood, the Minidakis boys, and the community service that they did is just unparalleled. So I would say that's what I would do. I'd be doing some type of function with them or participating in some type of drive where they're raising food or toys or money or something like that. And Baltimore seafood, which I don't eat seafood, but you know, if you're eating the crab or you're eating Old Bay or, you know, kind of just the heart of what it is to be a Baltimorean, those guys are it. So I would get my full dose of being in Baltimore and being in Dundalk over there where they are kind of just outside the city was very funny. It was fun hanging out with those guys.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody call it a Baltimorean. That's pretty dope.
That's an out of town thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I don't know what it's called if you're a Baltimore local.
It's officially now a Baltimorean. I don't care what nobody. I mean,
that's what it technically is. It's a Baltimorean, but we don't really call it that.
Nobody says that there.
You're from over east. You're from over west. So, you know, and then you say you're from South Baltimore. Everybody from Dundalk thinks you're from South Baltimore, but they're from Baltimore County. And there's a huge difference. It's all semantics, but thank you, Brendan, for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Brendan. We really appreciate you coming on and taking the time out today.
Thanks for taking me back. I appreciate it, guys, because it's been a tough 8 days over here. And for the last 40 minutes, I forgot. I forgot what was going on. Good, so man. I appreciate that. And I didn't get to watch any playoff football last week. All I saw was highlights here and there. Really? I didn't see no games Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. I didn't see no games live. So that's my goal this week is just to watch some live football. But thank you guys for just, you know, taking my mind off the natural disaster and all the things that are going on here. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait for the Ravens to go out there and do their thing and get my mind off things even more.
Me too, B. Me too, man. We praying for you, bro. We love you to death, man. Stay focused. Stay on your grind, dog. Keep taking care of your babies, man. And when you get a chance, send me John and Tony's number.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll pull up.
Appreciate you guys. Yep.
All right, that'll do it for the show, folks. It's been brought to you by BetOnline.ag, number one most trusted source for online sports wagering. Daniel, sign us off.
Bird Gang, we out. Let's go.